David in the camp of the enemy turns to God and says, God, shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah? I want you to know something. God doesn't turn to David and say, David, where have you been? You've been in the camp of the enemy, hey? David, what have you been doing? You haven't been listening to me. I'm not going to answer your prayer. You're lost. Is that what God says? God says, go up. David says, where do you want me to go? God says, to Hebron. It's a beautiful picture of grace.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, Senior Pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. As David McGee teaches through 2 Samuel 2 today, we're going to find some interesting insights, and here to share with us some of that is Neil, one of David McGee's assisting pastors.
Thanks, Bob. Humbled to be here with you today. And you know what? God is a keeping God. God is a leading God, and we get the opportunity to follow His lead. And so, Bob, I'm asking you the question. I'm asking our listeners the question. Even have to ask myself the question as we look in the scriptures today. Hey, God is leading. Are we following?
Great question. So let's get right into the teaching. Here's David McGee sharing verse by verse through 2 Samuel chapter 2.
So we're looking at the second book of Samuel. Now, what's happening is Saul now has died. He was killed in a battle after a long time of just not listening to the Lord, disregarding the Lord, rebelling against the Lord and against Samuel, who was the spiritual leader of Israel, and also trying to kill David when David was probably the best friend that Saul ever had a heart to serve Saul. And so last chapter, David was lamenting the death of Saul, which, you know, we looked at the fact that what a statement of David's character, that he would mourn the death of his enemy. It says a lot about David. So that brings us into chapter 2, verse 1. It says, it happened after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said to him, go up. And David said, where shall I go up? And he said, to Hebron. So David went up there, and his two wives also, and Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. And David brought up the men who were with him, every man with his household. So they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. Then the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, the men of Jabesh Gilead were the ones who buried Saul. Verse 5. So David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh Gilead and said to them, you are blessed of the Lord, for you have shown this kindness to your Lord to Saul and have buried him. And now may the Lord show kindness and truth to you. I also will repay you this kindness because you have done this thing. Now therefore, let your hands be strengthened and be valiant. For your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah has anointed me king over them. But Abner the son of Ner, commander of Saul's army, took Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim. And he made him king over Gilead, over the Asherites, over Jezreel, over Ephraim, over Benjamin, and over all Israel. Verse 11, and the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. Now Abner, the son of Ner, and the servants of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. And Joab, the son of Zerah, and the servants of David went out and met them by the pool of Gibeon. So they sat down, one on one side of the pool and the other on the other side of the pool. Verse 14, then Abner said to Joab, let the young men now arise and compete before us. And Joab said, let them arise. So they arose and went over by number, 12 from Benjamin, followers of Ishbosheth, and the son of Saul, and 12 from the servants of David. Again, they're not asking God. They're just doing what they want to do. Verse 16, and let's see the result. Verse 16, each one grasped his opponent by the head and thrust his sword in his opponent's side, so they fell down together. Therefore, that place was called the Field of Sharp Swords, which is in Gibeon. I think we don't talk to the Lord and you just plot ahead. People get hurt. People get hurt. What was gained here? Nothing. Nothing. As a matter of fact, sometimes simply by fighting, we lose. There's some fights that we don't need to be fighting. And there are some fights that we need to be fighting. We need to pray for God's guidance about what fights to fight and what fights not to fight. And verse 17. So there was a very fierce battle that day, and Abner and the men of Israel were beaten before the servants of David. Now understand, Abner and his men over the past few years, they hadn't been in a lot of combat. They had been in some battles, but think about David's men. All David's men had known over the past few years was fighting, You understand, when you're engaged in a battle, look for some people who have been in battles before. Look for some people who have been victorious in battles, who are experienced. That when war breaks out, that's the people you want around you, people who have been fighting. You know, Sunday we had the elders and the deacons. So many of these guys have been in the trenches with me for years. I mean, we've locked arms in some pretty serious battles. And so I know their experience. I know that they will fight when there's a fight to be fought. And David's men, they were experienced and they won. In verse 18, now the three sons of Zeruiah were there, Joab and Abishai and Asahel. And Asahel was as fleet as foot as the wild gazelle. Now Zeruiah was a half-sister to David. So Joab was his nephew, as well as Abishai and Asahel. They were David's nephews. That's going to become important in what happens here. So Asahel pursued Abner, and in going, he did not turn to the right hand or to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, are you Asahel? And he answered, I am. And Abner said to him, turn aside to your right hand or to your left, and lay hold on one of the young men, and take his armor for yourself. But Asahel would not turn aside from following him. So Abner said again to Asahel, turn aside from following me. Why should I strike you to the ground? How then could I face your brother Joab? So Abner's kind of in a dilemma, because he realizes if he takes Asahel out, he's made a real enemy of Joab, because they're brothers. And Joab is the leader of David's army. Verse 23, however, he refused to turn aside. Therefore, Abner struck him in the stomach with the blunt end of the spear, so that the spear came out of his back. And he fell down there and died on the spot. So it was that as many as came to the place where Asahel fell down and died, stood still. So this is part of the problem with division. People get hurt. When division comes in, people get hurt. And I've seen it here in this church. And it breaks my heart to know that the end result is somebody getting hurt. And even if that person meant me harm or spoke evil of me, it's still saddening to see them get hurt and messed up and end up in a dry place before the Lord. But Abner was wanting to do his own thing, and he's willing to hurt people over it. And that's kind of what happens when you quit listening to God and you're doing your own thing and you're wanting your own way. You start to not care about who gets hurt in the process. And that's what happens with Abner. But what we're going to see is one of the people that ends up getting hurt in the process is Abner himself. Friend, you need to remember that. That as you demand your own way and try to not listen to God, that you know, you're going to leave bodies, and one of the bodies that very well may be left in your wake is your own. You'll probably end up hurting yourself more than anybody else. Here we have Abner. He's trying to manipulate. And you know, it's kind of interesting when you look at the three main personalities in here. You've got Ishbosheth, which is, you know, he's kind of been thrown into this simply because of his connections. You know, he's Saul's son, so he's kind of thrown into this thing. If he'd have been a real strong man, again, there's questions as you read, as you really think about the story, there's a couple of problems. Well, why wasn't he in the battle? I think because his dad knew he wasn't a very strong soldier. He said, you stay home. And kind of left him in a weird position. And I think he knew, as well as Jonathan, his brother, that David was to be king, but he didn't care. So he's trying to manipulate his connections. He's a weak leader. He's without the anointing of God. And then you've got Abner, who's trying to manipulate everything, make it work to his own benefit, doesn't care what the will of God is. And then you've got David, who's anointed and called and appointed, but he's willing to wait on God's timing. David's not involved in this battle. I want you to notice his absence. I don't think he had anything to do with it. I think his men went off on this tangent. I think David was waiting on the Lord to open up the doors. And God does open up the doors. Verse 24, Joab and Abishai also pursued Abner. And the sun was going down when they came to the hill of Ammah, which is before Gia, by the road to the wilderness of Gibeon. Now the children of Benjamin gathered together behind Abner and became a unit and took their stand on top of a hill. Then Abner called to Joab and said, shall the sword devour forever? Do you not know that in the that it will be bitter in the latter end, how long will it be then until you tell the people to return from pursuing their brethren? Let's review verse 14 at this point. Go back to verse 14 with me. Then Abner said to Joab, let the young men now arise and compete before us. This whole thing was Abner's idea. And when Abner starts losing and his life is in danger, he's, oh, let's make the peace. Let's not fight. People are going to get hurt. Another little realization on the character of Abner. Oh, we don't, you know, he starts this whole mess and he's like, oh, let's don't fight anymore. Life lesson here. When there is division in the body of Christ, people get hurt. When there is division in the body of Christ, people get hurt. Joab's going to get up. He's going to be hurt. He's already been hurt. He's lost his brother. Abner is going to suffer very much in the next chapter. People get hurt. There's a high price for division. That's why the New Testament talks so harshly about division. Division in the body of Christ and speaks very harshly against those who are being divisive. So be careful. Be careful what you say with your mouth and those sorts of things and being divisive. Ask God what he wants to do. And if God anoints a certain person and you don't agree with that, then you submit yourself to God.
You're listening to Pastor David McGee on Cross the Bridge. He'll be back with more in just a moment. But first, if you haven't been to our website at crossthebridge.com yet, what are you waiting for? Go to crossthebridge.com to learn more about how listeners like you are helping get the life-changing truth of God's Word to more people through the radio, internet, and mobile technologies. At crossthebridge.com, you can also check out our broadcast schedule, listen to more teaching from Pastor David, and sign up for Pastor David's free daily devotional. And there's more there too. So visit crossthebridge.com today. Now, here's Pastor David as he continues sharing verse by verse.
Verse 28. So Joab blew a trumpet, and all the people stood still and did not pursue Israel anymore, nor did they fight anymore. Then Abner and his men went on all that night through the plain, crossed over the Jordan, and went through all the Bithron, and they came to Mahanaim. Verse 30, so Joab returned from pursuing Abner, and when he had gathered all the people together, there were missing of David's servant 19 men in Asahel. Verse 31, but the servants of David had struck down of Benjamin and Abner's men 360 men who died. David's group, they were blessed. Even though they were engaged in something that was questionable, they were victorious and you know, 20 people dying against 360. Now you understand why Abner said, well, wait a minute, let's not hurt one another. They were losing big time. And this division is going to continue. But really, David's men, they lost David's nephew. And Joab was going to have the difficult task of going back to David and saying, we got engaged in this battle and your nephew's dead, my brother. And Joab is actually going to alienate himself from David from some of his actions. Joab is kind of he's a real harsh guy. He's kind of a warmonger. He's kind of a hard man, battle hardened, if you will. But David's men had come, they had been through battles. They'd been strengthened in these battles. Understand that. I know some of you are going through battles. Some of you are in the middle of battles. Some of you just got through with some battles. Some of you are getting ready to start battles. And a lot of times we think, well, battles are the worst thing that can happen to us. No, they're not. No, they're not. Because battles, they give you strength. And they give you experience that you don't have before you're engaged in that battle. You get on the other side of that battle. You can turn to somebody that is engaged in that same battle and encourage them in the Lord. Say, you know what? I was in the midst of this battle. God brought me out of that. God delivered me from this. God delivered me from drugs, from alcohol, from these different things. And that person is encouraged in that. And now you have experience and you have faith and you have strength because God brought you through those battles. Friend, remember that. If you're in the midst of a battle tonight, remember that. God's going to bring you through. And on the other side of it, you're going to have more strength and more experience and be able to encourage somebody else in the battle. That's if you learn from the battle. Understand, sometimes we go in a battle and we don't learn the lesson. And then we have to go through the same battle again. Same opportunity to learn a lesson, but we don't learn it again, so we do the same battle. And some of us get stuck in a circle. And God's like, I want you to learn this lesson. And we go through the same battle 8, 9, 10 times when God never wanted us to do that. But we're not learning what God has desired us to learn. And we just keep repeating the same battles over and over. Verse 32, then they took up Asahel and buried him in his father's tomb, which was in Bethlehem. And Joab and his men went all night, and they came to Hebron at daybreak. This was Joab's brother. It's going to become important in the next chapter. Battles and woundings. Let's talk about woundings. Your attention, please. We've read the last verse, but there's more. If you wounded somebody, ask them to forgive you while you still have the chance. Because you never know when that person might go home to be with Jesus, or you might go home to be with Jesus, and you've left something unresolved. Or maybe you've been wounded by somebody, and you're carrying it around like some weird battle scar that you trying to be, oh, look what happened. Look what so-and-so did to me. Let go of that. You'll end up hardened and calloused if you keep doing that. Let it go. Forgive the person. We're often experts at how other people should act and how other people should forgive other people. But do you realize, as you're sitting here tonight, you cannot make a personal application of this study to anybody else except yourself? That's the only person you can do that for. See, we sit and sometimes we hear messages, we go, I wish so-and-so was here, you know? Or we elbow our spouse, this one's for you, I'll get you a copy of the CD, you know? No, this one's for you. This one's for each person that's in here. Because you can't make the application for anybody else. You don't know another person's sin as much as you know your own. But see, somehow it makes us feel better pointing at other people. Oh, you need to hear this one. I want to mention verse 1 again. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said to him, go up. David said, where shall I go up? And he said, to Hebron. You kind of miss a point. And to be honest, it was late in studying the chapter where I saw this. Let me ask you a question. Where has David been? He's been in Ziklag, in the camp of the enemy. He went there without inquiring of God and got in a whole mess of trouble. He did it on his own accord. He didn't ask for God's leadership, God's direction. He goes in there, things get messed up. He gets messed up. His family gets messed up. His children and his wife, they get kidnapped. Things go horribly. And he's still in this place when the man in chapter 1 says, hey, Saul's been killed. And David, in the camp of the enemy, in the wilderness, turns to God and says, God, shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah? I want you to know something. God doesn't turn to David and say, David, where have you been? You've been in the camp of the enemy, haven't you? David, what have you been doing? You haven't been listening to me. You were even willing to fight against Israel. David, you've been terrible. You've been a bad person. I'm not talking to you. I'm not going to answer your prayer. You're lost. Is that what God says? God says, go up. David says, where do you want me to go? And notice again, God doesn't say, well, I don't care what you want me to do. You haven't been asking me anything before this. God says to Hebron, there's a beautiful picture of grace. Do you realize when we find ourselves messed up in the enemy's camp and we go to talk to God, I've been there before. I know what you think when you're there. When you mess up, even a little bit, maybe you messed up today or last week, and you're like, I can't go to God. If I go to God, first thing he's going to be doing is pointing out everything that I've done wrong. Could God have pointed out what David did wrong at this point? Oh, yeah. He could have gave him a long list. Did he? No. Does he even mention it? No. Why? Friend, listen to this. He's just happy David's coming home. He's just happy David's coming back to Israel when he should have never left. I think there's a joy in God's heart. As David says, God, what do you want me to do? Should I go up in the land? God says, yeah, go up. Where should I go? Go to Hebron. See, friend, it doesn't matter where you've been. In some ways, it doesn't even matter where you are tonight. It's where you're going. And if you'll take the time to say, God, what is it you want me to do? Where is it you want me to go? I'm sure you've wasted some time. I've wasted some time. I'm sure you've done things that you shouldn't have done. I've done things I shouldn't have done. And I fully expected sometimes when I came back to God for God to say, no, that's it. You cross the line. I'm done. And God to provide this long list of the things I've done wrong. And he never did. I was just always really glad I was coming back home. There's a good friend of mine. He started a custom guitar thing. They handmade guitars. It was pretty cool because you could go in and you could tell them every, you know, what types of woods you wanted and what types of pickups and frets and design it from the ground up. And I got the opportunity to get him to design some guitars. And I was a believer, and Ken knew I was a believer. And as my musical career took off, I fell away from the Lord. And I needed to go in to see Ken to get him to work on my guitars. And I was dreading it. I was dreading it because I knew when I sat in front of Ken, he was going to say, look at you, you're successful, but you're wasting your life and your God-given talent and all these things, you know, and I was just dreading it. And I went into the shop and started talking to Ken about the guitars, and he took me back in the repair shop and started getting the guys working on the stuff. And I kept waiting for him to drop the bomb, you know, and start the finger pointing, and he never did. And then I got ready to leave, and I was like, wow, I'm going to get out of here, and he's not going to yell at me and stuff. And I got to the door, and he said, hey, man. And I said, yeah. He said, I just want to say to you, I love you and I miss you. And tears started coming to my eyes, and I knew I had to get out of there quick. And I left. And as I was walking to the car, I realized that was God's heart towards me. Not that he was wanting to get in my face and point his finger. And he loved me and he missed me because I was choosing to wander away from him. Friend, are you choosing to wander tonight? It's time to come home. God, who created the universe, misses your company. If you're not spending time with the Lord, he misses that time that you spend with him. And life without the Lord becomes very hard, becomes very dry. People get hurt, including yourself. And if you're here tonight and maybe you've wandered a little, maybe you've wandered a lot, or maybe you're in the middle of a battle and you just need to be reminded God's going to bring you through, or maybe you're in a time of life where you're trying to demand your own way with God. Friend, don't do it. Let God have his way with you. Ask God, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? And he'll tell you. And even if you've been in the enemy's camp and you've been far from home, God says tonight, it's time to come home. He's missed you. More than you've missed him. Put the past behind you. All your mistakes, all your mess ups, all your wanderings. God's willing to forgive you of all those things. Or maybe you've never asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins. You have that opportunity. Not because you've been basically a good person, but because God loves you so much. He sent his son to die for you, that all your sins could be forgiven. If you'll just call on him and ask him to forgive you and ask him to give you the power to live for him, he's willing to declare all your sins, all your mistakes, to be as white as snow. Friend, he knows you. He sees your struggles. He sees your pain. He's counted the tears you cry. And he's calling to you tonight to come home. My prayer is that you'll come home to him, because your heavenly Father is calling.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking him to help you to live for him. Please pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe you were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry.
Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. You can also write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Now, before we go, in a world that seems chaotic at every turn, Jesus wants you to experience peace this year. He wants you to experience His shalom, which is wholeness, joy, and hope, no matter what the circumstances are that you face every day. Neil, do we have a resource that can help our listeners with this?
Yeah, Bob. Pastor David wrote a simple book that can show you how to experience this shalom that you were just talking about. It's easy to read and full of great analogies to share powerful biblical truths. Cross the Bridge to Life, Discover Your Adventure will be a blessing to any of our listeners, Bob.
You know, that's a great gift to thank any of our listeners that financially support us to help more people cross the bridge from death to life. Go to crossthebridge.com to request your copy today.
Also, each day you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with his email devotional. Life lessons to consider, daily reading plan, and even biblical thoughts to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of Pastor David.
Yes, Neil, and it's free and easy to sign up today at crossthebridge.com. Thanks again for listening, folks, and we hope you'll join us next time as we continue studying verse by verse through 2 Samuel.